As we prepare to encounter God's word, let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, as we open this ancient and difficult text, teach us what it means to follow you today. For your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. In your holy name, amen. Our lectionary text this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, beginning with verse 24 through verse 37. As pastors, I like to preach the lectionary. It's an assigned text that goes over 3 years. It causes me to preach on text I don't want to preach on. And today is an example. This is a harsh text, not an easy one to preach on. This is the story of the Syrophoenician woman and Jesus' reply to her when she asked him to heal her daughter from a demon. He makes this rather harsh statement, a statement that's saying, well, you know that the children are Jews and that the dogs are Gentiles and that the benefits of this, the food, belongs to the children, to the Jews. It's a harsh story. But then Jesus follows this and goes and heals a man who is deaf. And so hear now the words of the gospel. Jesus set out and went away to a region in Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, and a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard of him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, and she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. And then he returned to the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears. He spat and touched his tongue. And then he looked up into heaven and he sighed, and he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were open and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. For they were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of the Lord. I ask you, have you ever felt that you have experienced the silence of God? Have you ever felt undeserving or unworthy to even go to God? Have you ever felt put off by God? Now, that's a hard one. But as you see, that's exactly what happened in our text today. I think a lot rides on how we interpret Jesus' reaction to the request of the Syrophoenician woman. After all, she comes to him bowed down in a posture of prayer, begging him to cure her daughter from a demon, an unclean spirit. And it's something we know he could certainly do. And yet, Jesus brushes her off, refuses her request, casts her aside, throwing in an ethnic slur. And so our haunting question is, Jesus, why? Let us pray. Lord, this is a difficult text. Help us. Help us to understand what it means to us today, here. Amen. Well, perhaps you have heard a sermon or two or ten on this particular passage over the years, and there is the traditional standard answer, and that was that Jesus was not refusing her. Jesus was testing her. That is, that insult, that rebuff, that rejection, it really wasn't real. It was to test her faith, to see if she really, really believed. And of course, she passes. But the trouble with this interpretation is that in all of the Gospels, nothing like this occurs at any other time. And usually, we look at Scripture and we find other incidences that we can compare. It also creates a rather cold-hearted picture of God who would taunt and test us in our moment of deepest, deepest need. So if this is not the interpretation, then what is? Why would Jesus react to this woman in such a calloused way? Well, there is a more unconventional, untraditional answer to this question. And that is that perhaps, just perhaps, Jesus had not yet fully understood the extent of God's mission for him, the radical nature of the kingdom of God that he so boldly proclaimed. Now, I realize this is an uncomfortable consideration, because we all think that Jesus, being fully human, fully divine, while he was a baby in a manger, He fully understood what it meant to be the Son of God. But the Hebrew Scriptures say that although Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Did it take Jesus some time to learn the lessons that God had for him? To fully learn what it meant to live as the Christ? You know, I think with this Syrophoenician woman, he got it. He saw that the kingdom of God was no longer just for the lost sheep of Israel, but that this ever-widening circle includes us. We're the Gentiles. And that God's love is truly as broad as he said it was. Maybe that was a new idea then. It still is today. Let's back up. We see Jesus in Tyre, a seaport village on the Phoenician coast. And it's clearly he said, I don't want anyone to know that I'm here, that I'm out of town. But, you know, he was a famous person. He could not escape notice. And here is a lone woman coming to him, speaking for herself in a country where women were not to speak for themselves. A man should speak for a woman. And so, in other words, she's already implicitly impure. She's living outside of the land of Israel. She's outside of the law of Moses. She's a descendant of the enemies of Israel. And so with that, she also has a daughter who's ill. Something's wrong. We don't know if it's mental or physical. It just, we're told there's an unclean spirit. Some say a demon. Whatever, it's not a good situation. And some say that Jesus was doing what any good Jewish man would do in the situation and the circumstance. Others say that, well, you know, Jesus was just exhausted and he needed a break. He wanted to get away. Others are saying, well, you know, this is just Jesus' way of testing the woman. And others say, this is a learning time for Jesus and what it meant that his mission included all people. You know, we cannot exactly know what Jesus was thinking. We can't. But we do see that tenacious mother who was quite assertive when Jesus spoke those words, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She comes right back and replies, Sir, respect. Even the little dogs are able to eat the crumbs from under the table. And Jesus agrees and tells her, that's okay, you can go home, your daughter's healed. It's like Jesus suddenly saw there are no ethnic, political, or social boundaries. God's healing power extends to her. She goes home and finds her daughter healed. Jesus had brought healing to the daughter and salvation to the Syrophoenician woman. And so then Jesus heads off the region of the Decapolis into another Gentile territory, and they brought him a man who was deaf and had difficulty speaking clearly and could not communicate well, perhaps due to his deafness, we're not sure. But at any rate, he's a Gentile, he's another outsider, but he's also a man who has been cut off from his own world, not able to hear or communicate well. And you know what, this time, Jesus doesn't hesitate to heal him. He, in a very earthy scene, in private, puts his fingers in his ear and puts spittle on his hands and touches the man's tongue. I see our confirmants wondering, you've got to be kidding. Yes. This man's hearing was restored. He speaks plainly. He's not only healed physically, but he is restored to his community. He gives the man speech and gives speech to the speechless. So I'm asking, did Jesus learn something from that Syrophoenician woman, and he's now choosing to do ministry just up the road a bit, a little differently? So I'm reminded, as we bring it to us here, the focus on our ministry. This is the kickoff of a new year. How exciting. And believe me, we have something for everyone. If you didn't have pancakes this morning, I mean, we even fed you. That was great. But there's a new series of adult study. There is music in the choir, in the procession, that was beautiful. We provide spiritual nourishment for the faithful. There is no doubt about it. That is essentially what we do. We provide divine worship, music, pastoral care, Bible study. We work hard at preparing our programs of education for our children, for confirmation class who just returned from a retreat, ready to embark on a 2-year study of what it means to be a child of God. An outstanding program with the Academy of the Laity just beginning. Yes, there's something for everyone. But are we sometimes so busy taking care of ourselves that we may miss the one that Jesus sends to us, who wants just the crumbs from under the table? You know, the Syrophoenician woman's courageous act maybe gives us insight to Jesus' ministry, and people like her. The early church, Jesus and this band of followers actually, because of this, did not end up as some quaint, dead-end, forgotten Jewish clique. It could have stayed very small, but it didn't. He was able to risk, to be inclusive, and it opened up the world forever. So my question is, who does that for us here? Whose voices do we hear? Whose voice do we not hear? Whose opinion do we discount? And how willing are we to do what Jesus did and put ourselves in a position where we may need to change our mind? I think this passage challenges us. What does it really mean when we say we are inclusive? Are there people who we automatically close our ears to, whose opinion we discount even before they say a word? I think these stories call us to be honest with ourselves and to examine our own unconscious biases. They call us to hear the voice that may disturb us, that will help us to grow. If Jesus needed that voice, then how can we not? How do we expand our ministry to include the outsider, not just to welcome, but to include the outsider, the one who knocks on our door asking for help, the one who's asking for crumbs from under the table? The first night, a couple of weeks ago, we had parents' night out. I was in the entryway with a table, paper, ready to sign everyone in. I was pumped. I was so excited. Michaela had all of her leaders in place, and we were ready to go. And parents and children and visitors were showing up. And then a woman kind of made her way through the crowd and came right next to me across as I was working and said, "I need some money." And I said, I'm busy. I'll be with you in just a little bit. And she said, I need help right now. And so I said, if you will stand right there, I will be with you in just a little bit. And so she walked over to the side, but then she said in a very loud voice, "Yes, I know you're going to put me off just like everyone else." Whoa. I couldn't help but pause, and I found a staff person. Tracy was here, and I had her visit with her and help her out, and she did get help. But I've wondered so many times about this woman. How many times has she been set aside? I wondered about her level of frustration. I don't know what it was. I wonder how aware she was that she was certainly the outsider, the one who didn't fit in that night, the one who was just asking for crumbs from under the table. You know, for those of us who have a place at the table, we need to be reminded that none of us have a right or a privilege to our claim on God or our place at the table. We all come as beggars to the table, and it is by God's grace that we are fed. Because in this story, the story, we are reminded that God's grace is immeasurably greater than we could ever imagine. But perhaps you're here today, and you're the one asking for the crumbs under the table. Trust that God does not leave any of us in the state of beggarliness. I don't know if that's a word. But God's grace and mercy lets us know that we are all God's beloved children, every tribe, every language, every nation. And Jesus gives us so much more than just crumbs from under the table. So my challenge for each of us this week is to be aware of the people we hear and the people we fail to hear. Be aware of the words we speak and the words we fail to speak. And let us be open always to the voice of God. Amen.